This gospel message is brought to you by the Reformed Witness Hour, a ministry of the Protestant Reformed Churches in America. A Reformed denomination that strives to be faithful to the Word of God and the historic confessions of the Reformed faith, also known as Calvinism. In love for our great God, we proclaim the Christian faith and life that is founded on God's sovereign particular grace. As God's Word is expounded, we pray that these messages are a blessing to you.
The verse we consider in our broadcast today does not seem to say much. It is Revelation 1 verse 8, which reads, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." All it really does is give us the name of Christ. He is Alpha and Omega. But as we stand on the first day of the year 2017, we need something to guide us through this year to come. We need a word of God that will give us good, sound instruction as we walk through another year. This verse does not seem to do that. We receive a name. What practical good will just a name give us? This. It will serve to give you and me hope in this year to come. And that is really what we need. Oh, we will receive the Word of God all year long. That Word will certainly instruct us in the way we should walk. That Word will admonish and encourage us. But the Word that we need to hear as the new year dawns must be a Word of hope. We need bright hope for today and tomorrow. That hope is given us in that very name of Jesus Christ we read of here in Revelation 1. You see, this life in this world is always changing. Time is like an ever-rolling stream. In this year to come, all of us will become another year older. In this year to come, Christ's coming will be just another year closer. In this year to come, there will be new events that take place in our lives. In this year to come, God will take some of His people home to be with Him. Others will be given affliction and sorrow. Some will be given new joy, a reason to laugh and to rejoice. Time always changes things, but there is one thing in our lives that will never change. Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the one who is and was and is to come, and for that reason, our Lord and Savior is that rock to which we cling again in this year to come for comfort and strength. All of that is found in a name. What name? Alpha and Omega. This is a name that is unique to the book of Revelation. It is mentioned four times in that book. In all four of these occurrences, Christ calls himself this by name. No one addresses him and calls him by this name. It is a name Christ uses to speak of himself. For that reason, it is a special name, a name set aside by Jesus Christ to encourage us. And it is this name of Christ we wish to have on our lips throughout the new year to come, a name we can call upon for our hope and strength. In this verse, we read that it is the Lord who calls himself the Alpha and Omega. In other words, Jesus Christ as the Lord calls himself by this name. As the risen and ascended Lord who sits at the right hand of God and rules in the heavens, Jesus says, "I am Alpha and Omega." That is the truth that stands out in this verse. Christ is Lord. He rules in heaven over all things. Christ was ordained of God from eternity and anointed by the Holy Spirit at the time of his baptism to function as prophet, priest, and king. In the verse before us, Christ speaks to us in particular as king. That is why the name Lord is used. You see, a Lord is a man having power and authority over others. He is a man of rank and high position. That position of authority over others belongs to that Lord by virtue of hereditary right and or because he has earned that position of honor and power. For that reason, one who is a lord exercises leadership and great power. Those under him must render him honor, service, and obedience. As we enter into the year 2017, it is encouraging to know that Christ is such a Lord. In fact, He is the Lord. There is no one of higher power and rank, no one of higher authority and honor than Christ. He is the sovereign Lord who rules over all. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's nothing more encouraging in this year to come than to know that, dear listener. Christ's rank and position is His by hereditary right. He is the very Son of God, and by virtue of His divinity alone, Christ rules. But Christ has also earned this position and power. He has earned that on the cross, where He defeated His enemies and ours. There He overcame sin and death. He conquered Satan. He did battle against the wicked world, and He overcame. Because of that work Christ has accomplished in His death, God has given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Christ sits at God's right hand now and rules over all creatures, great and small, in heaven and on earth. And everyone is called to render Him service, obedience, and honor. Christ sits on His throne in heaven right now. He is Lord. This gives us hope for this year to come, because this Lord, who sovereignly reigns in the heavens, is our Savior. When He went to the cross, He did so on our behalf. He conquered sin, Satan, and death for His chosen people. He now sits in heaven and reigns over all things for the church. His rule is therefore for our benefit. That in turn means that whatever may befall us as His children is for our good. How often we have to remind ourselves of that, do we not? When life does not always go the way we want it to, we can quickly blame it on someone or something. And we forget that our Lord is sitting in heaven, directing our lives and that of the church unto His perfect end. So as we stand at the very beginning of a new year, let's remind ourselves of the truth that is before us. In this year to come, Christ is Lord. He lives and reigns over all things, and He directs our lives and everything in them in His great love toward His chosen people. Well, if that's true, and we are believers, then we need not worry or fear. There are two virtues mentioned in Revelation 1 verse 8 here that characterize our Lord. These virtues should give to us great comfort too. The first is, He is almighty. An earthly lord or king may be powerful and may exert much authority and sway over his people, but there is one thing he is not. He is not almighty. As mighty as he may seem, his authority and his power can be challenged and even taken away by another. How many times that has happened in the kingdoms of men? As much power and ability an earthly king may wield, he is never almighty. Well, the same is not true of our King, our Lord Jesus Christ. He is all-powerful in His control over all creatures. The heathen may rage, the kings of the earth may set themselves against God and His anointed to break away from their rule. These wicked people of the earth even imagine a vain thing, which is that they have successfully broken away from the sovereign rule of Christ over them. But they have not. They have not because they cannot. The unbelieving world has perhaps convinced itself that man has set his own course in this world. And in the year before us, man will go his merry way and increase in his wickedness. The wicked will ignore Christ and do what is right in their own eyes, all because of their foolish imagination. They will continue to think they are in control and not Christ. But Christ reigns, fellow believers. He even now in his power and might directs the nations and the peoples of this earth. Does Christ even direct them in their way of foolishness and sin? Oh yes, he does. All in order that the world might become ripe for judgment. All these things take place in order that Christ as Lord might bring about his second coming. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him some day. Every man shall give account to this Lord of heaven and earth. In the year 2017, we need not fear the wicked, though he is loud and boastful, though he is filled with rage against God. Our Lord is almighty. He reigns over the wicked man with a rod of iron. There is one other virtue that gives us great comfort in this year to come. Christ is unchangeable in his might. The Lord is he which is and which was and is to come almighty. That means that Christ is ever the same. There's great comfort in that for us, you know. When we look back across the year that now has disappeared, There are so many things that happen to us and our loved ones. There has been so much development of sin in this world. The world increases in sin so rapidly, it seems. To look to another year really can be frightening. Everything is constantly changing. What will I or my family have to endure in this year to come? The future is unknown and so uncertain. But there is one thing we can be sure of in this year to come. Jesus is and was and is to come the same. He is the same in his great love toward us. That love never changes. God has chosen his people in Christ from eternity, and we have been saved in Christ. Christ's not going to turn away from that love for us. Neither will Christ allow his chosen people to walk away from him. We are his. We are held in his almighty hand. He loves us, and he will love us in this year to come too. And remember, saints of God, Christ is and was and is to come almighty too. That means his power and authority over all things will never diminish. He will direct all the affairs of 2017 for our good and our salvation. We cling to that in faith. Not one event of our lives or of this world will slip by Christ and his rule. He has them in control, even when life seems so chaotic, even when all the events of our lives seem to swirl around us. Christ is there, and he holds these events of our lives in his hand. It is for this reason he gives us his name, Alpha and Omega. That name gives us all the reason to be filled with hope in this year to come. Christ is Alpha and Omega. These are the two names of two letters of the Greek alphabet. Alpha is comparable to our A, and Omega is comparable to our Z. In other words, these two Greek letters are the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet, just like our A and Z are in the English alphabet. By using these two letters of the Greek alphabet as a name, Christ, in essence, is saying this of himself, I am the first and the last. This is further explained by him in our text when he attaches to this name the words, the beginning and the ending. Since we have already found out that Christ the Lord is the Alpha and Omega, it is left to us to find the meaning of this name, therefore. What message is Christ conveying to us this new year when he says to us, I am the Alpha and Omega? And what assurance can we derive from this name in this year to come? There are several different ideas expressed in Scripture itself that ought to be applied to the thought given us in this name of Christ. The first is this, Christ is God. Christ is divine. This means then that Christ is first, just as God is first. God is from eternity and to all eternity. As the divine Son of God, so is Christ. We read of this in John 1, verses 1 and 2, for example. Christ is God and was with God in the beginning of all things. And since all things are to God, that is, they find their end in God and His glory, so also is this true of Christ according to His divinity. God is not only first, but last. So is Christ. That then the Scriptures ascribe to Christ. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist, and to Him are all things. He is the first and the last according to His Godhead. That truth first of all. But there are two other truths concerning Christ that are really on the foreground here in this verse of Revelation 1. The first of these two truths is, Christ is the first and the last in the counsel of God. You see, before time began in eternity, God in His counsel decreed Christ. He decreed Him as the firstborn among many brethren. Christ is first. He is the beginning of all things. All things in history, therefore, center in Christ. He was the reason all things were created. He was the reason we were chosen as God's elect people. He is first in the counsel, eternal counsel of God with respect to our salvation. This is why Christ has a preeminence. Christ is the firstborn of the church. From eternity, God elected His people in Christ. Now, what practical significance does that have for you and me in the year 2017? This. Never will God view His people apart from Jesus Christ. Never will He view you and me, therefore, apart from Christ in this year to come. God has chosen us in Him and saved us in Him. We are His, always and ever. That we need to know when we confront sin in our lives in this year to come. Oh yes, we confess with the psalmist, our sins rise up against us, prevailing day by day. We can become so weary in our battle against sin. But we must cling to the truth that we belong to Jesus Christ. Christ is first, and we are chosen in Him. And when the troubles of this life threaten to take away our joy and happiness, when circumstances of life threaten to rob us of our contentment and peace of heart, we remember this. Just as this day is the first of the year, so also is Christ first. And just as this year will end 365 days later, so Christ is the end of it all. All things are for Christ, and if we be Christ's, then all things are for us too. Profound, isn't it? But that brings us to the final idea expressed in this name. Christ is the beginning of our salvation and the end of our salvation, too. And it is really this idea that stares us in the face in the verse we consider. Christ came in His first advent to bring salvation. He has accomplished this on the cross and in His resurrection. He began the work of salvation at that time. At the end of time, in His parousia, that is, His return, Christ will bring that salvation to its perfect end. He's the beginning of our salvation when He came first to be on earth, and He is the ending of that salvation when He comes again at the end of time. And He is everything in between, too. He that has begun a good work in us will be faithful to complete that work, too, which means, once again, that Christ will preserve us in this year to come. His promise to you and me is sure. He is coming, and He carries with Him the final work of the salvation of the church. When He comes, He will dispel all night for us and usher us into that kingdom where God and the Lamb are the light of it. And the light that shall shine will be the perfection of that kingdom. All sin will be gone. All our enemies will be destroyed. It will be a kingdom of peace and true joy and happiness in heaven. That kingdom is coming, people of God. It is coming again in 2017. Christ, even now, is establishing his kingdom over all the world in the hearts of his elect people. And that kingdom will be brought to its completion soon enough. That is what gives us the hope necessary to carry on again in this year to come. Our King, our Lord, is coming. He is directing everything that is taking place in our lives and in the church and in the world. He is the first this year, and he is the end of this year. He is there in the beginning of time, and he will be here at the end of time when the years will cease to exist for us. But we must look for him with that hope, too. Hope is a patient waiting for and longing after something that is to come. That is what must characterize us as we look for Christ's return in this new year. This is what motivates you and me in our homes and families in this year to come. This is what must give us the zeal to carry on in the work of the church in this year to come. That is what must motivate us in our own individual lives too in this year to come. Christ is coming. What reason for joy in this year? We may not say, "Oh Lord, just take me out of this old world. I just want to go to heaven." Sounds pious enough. But Christ places you and me in this world for a reason. And it is wrong for us to mope about in this year to come and be miserable. That is not why God has placed you and me in this world, to sit back and say how much we do not want to be here. We rejoice in this year to come. We must approach this year with zeal. Christ is coming. He will preserve my going out and my coming in. Praise his name. The hope that is mine gives me incentive to live and be fruitful in God's kingdom. God, give us that hope in this year to come. Christ is our King. Onward, Christian soldiers. Onward into this new year we go. We fight against all evil and stand for the right. And when Christ comes again, we will be found standing in faithfulness to him. Come, Lord Jesus. Yea, come quickly. Let's pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we are thankful that our Savior is coming again upon the clouds of heaven. And may we now in this new year be given that hope, so that we might live in zeal and in dedication to that cause of Christ. Bless us richly and our loved ones in this new year to come, and go with us, go forth into this new year with us, and with thy church everywhere. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.
The gospel message you have just heard was sponsored by the Protestant Reformed Churches through its radio program, The Reformed Witness Hour. We hope that you have been edified and encouraged by this message. If you would like more information about the Reformed faith or the Protestant Reformed churches, feel free to visit our website at reformedwitnesshour.org or email us at mail@reformedwitnesshour.org.